All right, so coming to you almost live from the Wendy House Studios of Valois Bay, I am François Fortier, otherwise at Johnny Canuck on Twitter. I'm welcoming in the Two Fat Dad Studios, Mr. Eric Schultz, at Schultzter. And on the other side of, well, you're still on the same side of the shore, aren't you? Or we're right in the middle of the shore, so it doesn't work. He's coming to us live from Quebec City tonight, Mr. Stéphane Deneau.
Hey there.
Now, Steph, you don't have a Twitter account yet, so...
But I am a twit, so that's fine.
We'll drag him into Web 2.0 soon enough.
Let's see if we can get him off of WoW for 4 hours.
I don't think you can, guys.
So
WoW rules.
WoW rules, okay. So what level is your paladin now?
My paladin is level 45.
Oh, that's not bad, actually. You put some good hours into that.
Yes.
And how much of that was spent actually killing people and not just digging for gold in fields?
Probably half that time.
Eric, have you ever played any WoW?
No, I can't say I have. The last game of that I played was Ultima 3.
Ultima 3. Wow, that's going...
Wow, that's a long time ago.
That is going back. I guess
actually, it's not that long ago if you go and install like a DOS emulator under Windows XP.
So
weren't you guys talking about bringing me to Web 2.0?
Okay, there's actually two really good things I want to bring up tonight, and this hits the head on both of them. Number one is that Steph doesn't have a Twitter account. And we got to drag him into actually writing more than just the one blog article he's written so far on the site. And number two, Eric can't install Skype on his machine at all. So I want to know, Eric, how you're prevented from loading Skype onto a machine that basically runs any virtual machine you want.
What do you mean?
Well, don't you spend all your day in virtual scenarios? Oh.
You're suggesting I install Skype in one of my virtual machines.
That could be a good idea. Would that work?
I suppose that would be a possibility. I could always do that. I was just trying to install it on my actual machine. Cause why go virtual when you've got a perfectly good machine, right?
Well, isn't a perfectly good machine the thing that's stopping you from using Skype?
Yeah, I suppose. But...
Okay.
I guess there are alternatives that could be explored.
Because right now we're talking to, and you probably hear the sound quality is a little bit different. We're here talking to Eric through an actual landline, which some people still have them. And Stefan's Skyping in from Quebec, which is actually sounds like he's in the next room.
No, I'm in the bathroom right now.
Lovely.
I'm kidding.
Lovely.
I'm kidding.
So one of the reasons why we were going to podcast in general tonight was Schultzer last week dropped his phone down the stairs at the train station. Not Schultzer, Stephen McGurn dropped his phone down the stairs at the train station. And he's even having a nightmare trying to live with it, you know, try to get something working. And this week, on Monday, they announced the new iPhone. And I don't think any of us are really happy with the phones we have now. So we're going to try and see if anybody actually wants to go ahead and get one of these new iPhones. So, Eric, I think you're the one who's closest to the end of your contract. What have you decided?
Well, I mean, my clear first choice is to go with Bell, obviously, right? But I have a certain monetary incentive to switch over to this carrier. Of course, there's no iPhone from Bell. There isn't anything close from Bell. If I were to stick with the Rogers, I would definitely consider the iPhone. I mean, the only other alternative really for me is a BlackBerry. I'm not going to go with one of those quasi-smartphones. I'm not even considering anything that runs Windows, given the experience I've had with Windows Mobile in the past.
And you're running a BlackBerry 7120, 7110?
I think it's 7130, but it's basically the Pearl before it became the Pearl.
Okay, so it's the Pearl that looks like a wedge to you can use to keep the door open.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so, and you're doing quite wonders with that, really. I mean, you're not you don't have a data plan on it, obviously. Yeah. But you use mostly text messaging on it.
Yeah. Well, I mean, when I got that phone, data plan started at $100 and went up from there.
Welcome to Canada, everybody. This is what we pay for data. I think the exact expression is called data rape, but that's another thing altogether. So it's not great. And so the so what's stopping you really from getting the iPhone apart from the fact that it's still Rogers?
Well, I mean, to me, it's the basic common sense of it, right? 90% of phones have got to appeal to 90% of the population, and I mean, there's not going to be that big a difference between an iPhone and a BlackBerry and a Pre or some of the other Windows mobile things out there.
But there's no digital compass on the BlackBerry.
I'm sure we can write one up for you if you really want. If that's the only reason you're going to the iPhone, we'll even go down to base camp and pick you up a little Sylvania camp compass that you can attach by a lanyard.
But you're a Google guy to begin with. I mean, we joked around in the last time we tried to do a podcast that the only reason why you hadn't been able to get onto Skype or had never tried Skype before is because it wasn't programmed by Google. So, you know, that joke is crap the second time around, by the way, as most of my jokes are. But why not the Android that that Rogers has?
Well, it's not really an Android, right?
So what's missing from it to become an Android?
And I'd need to review this, but I can't remember the name of the website now, but they came and look at it, and they said Rogers had scrubbed all the Google branding from it.
Oh, really? Well, that's not very fun.
So it's
not the G1. It's just the HTC Dream or something?
Yeah, it's the HTC Dream running a Rogers version of Android. So is it 99.9% Android or is it like 50% Android? You know,
okay.
That's still to be seen.
So, I mean, like, which of the 50% that you really need to have unlocked to do what you want to do with that phone?
Oh, I have no idea. I haven't looked at it yet. I mean, my requirements for the phone are pretty basic. And actually at this point, what I'd really like to see from a phone is being able to sync with, you know, and tell me didn't see it coming. I want to sync with all my Google stuff, my Google contacts, my Google calendar, my Google path.
Which is something I'm doing right now with a BlackBerry. I'm currently using the Storm, but I was also doing it with a Pearl, using the Google Sync app. And I can sync my calendar, my multiple calendars, not only to the BlackBerry, but also to my Outlook. And then I could also sync all my contacts. That was a bit of a work because we had to scrub half the contacts. Because sometimes, you know, you have one corporate contact and then you have a home contact and it's the same guy, but he's got like a different number in there. So once the initial sync, which is basically duplicating your entire database, is scrubbed clean, suddenly everything gets really nice afterwards and it actually does work pretty well. I don't actually use Google Tasks. I still use Remember the Milk. I think it's a better tasking program. So that's not bad. Now, Steph, you're still stuck in 1991 with your phone?
Yes, I've got the HP iCrop.
So, which would be a Windows Mobile device. Now, are you actually running a 6-point version of Windows Mobile, or is it like still back at 4 or 3?
I believe it's at version 6. I will verify and get back to you in the next 15 minutes once I've been able to get to that information from this beautiful piece of junk.
But you that phone itself, you could run Skype off that phone, couldn't you? There's like a Skype mobile for that device. It's not that bad.
No, I'm sure that I could.
I used the Windows Mobile device, I think, all for about... I had the Motorola Q. It lasted about a week. And then...
6.1.
So that's not bad, really, for an operating system for Windows. But the... So I used the Q for about, I don't know, a week until I got bored of it, and I went straight back to the BlackBerry 7250, which is a rock of a device. It can't do anything, but it just, you can't break it either. So you hate this device, Stefan, is what we're trying to get to.
No, hate is not a strong enough word. I think despise, wish that I could throw it against the wall would probably be more accurate at this point. I got to tell you, pretty much every morning I have to reset the phone because it's just the screen won't start.
So is that a reset or a battery pull? I mean, how does a reset work on the iPad?
Okay, for the uninitiated to the technology, there's a little button you press. It says reset on it. And for the people who are more aggressive, you can rip the battery out, throw it against the wall, put it back in, and that normally does the same thing.
Because with the Motorola Q, I had a reset button, but it didn't do anything. You'd still have to pull the battery out four times before you got a real good reboot. And it was.
Oh no! This reset button works great. It's fantastic. It just takes 16 minutes to refresh itself. All kidding aside, it's got some great capabilities. It's pretty good. But the battery, the biggest issues I have with this specific phone are threefold. One, the battery life sucks. Two, the fact that I have to reset on a regular basis. And the third one, which is a real pain in the you-know-what, because I'm on the road a lot and because our government has decided that we shouldn't be driving and talking with our phone on our ears, but the policeman can, I think that it would be nice to be able to use a plug-in so that the corded version of the headset while I'm charging my phone. Oh, but alas, I cannot because the USB connector is to use by the charger.
Well, that's
as much
a fail.
As I like, well, that
that's
is
just
total
a fail.
Fail.
Don't they have like a, it didn't come with a USB splitter that lets you charge and use the headset?
Nope.
Oh.
Don't forget, I'm with Rogers. So... Rogers basically has the best signal in the center of the universe. That's why those commercials are always around, in and around Toronto. They don't go around the country to say that you don't lose signal.
That's pretty bad. But you're using your Rogers phone in Quebec City. That can't be that bad.
Yeah, I'm getting emails and I do get some calls. I've been disconnected 3 calls already today.
That is pretty awful.
Yeah,
that's pretty.
So, to get back on topic, because you digressed, JF, and this is not something you normally do.
No, I've never digressed a day in my life, and I've never exaggerated ever exaggerated at any point in my entire life.
You've always been a serious and on point and on target man, so I'm surprised that you've actually gone off target. My views on the iPhone, as opposed to what Eric has mentioned, is. I like the iPhone. I think it's a great phone. I think it's versatile. It provides a lot of flexibility. And for me, it's a great mobile device for watching TV, viewing movies, or what have you. My only concern is because the screen is touchscreen, if you drop that phone and you crack that glass, yeah, you'll probably be able to still see images on the screen, but forget the touch capability. I won't be able to make any phone calls. Whereas if I use this iCrap or my old Trail, if I drop it, the screen can be cracked, and I'll still be able to see it, but I've got the numbers to actually dial out and continue to work. I don't lose the functionality because the tactile screen is dead. So.
Yeah, but Stefan, quick, frankly, how long are you going to go around with a phone that has a busted screen?
Until his work pays for a new one.
Jeff, touche. Hey, listen, Eric, you think this is funny? I still carry my old Treo 680 with me in case I get fed up at this point.
They let you keep it?
Yeah.
Why don't you just use that instead?
Because it's not, because I'm running Palm OS on it. So it doesn't integrate with Outlook as well.
You didn't download the Palm OS Exchange thing from the Palm site that lets you plug into the Exchange?
Yeah, if you want to pay for it.
No, you don't pay for it. Oh, it's true, you're with Rogers. Bell lets you have it for free.
Yeah, no, I'm with Rogers.
Okay.
Don't forget, I don't live in Toronto, so I can't get it for free.
Now,
Did I say that out loud?
No, you didn't say that out loud at all.
Thanks.
It doesn't matter, because next year we're all going to be with the same network anyways. So, generally speaking, I had a quick look at the iPhone, and I've been using the Storm for, I guess, like I said, almost a month now. The touchscreen on the Storm, it's not the best. When you want to highlight something, you just put your finger over the letter or the icon. If you actually want to activate it, then you then have to push the whole screen in. So it's got this SurePress technology. You get used to that after a while. But it's never accurate. And the only reason why I've survived so long is because I was using the SureType on the Pearl, which built up a huge dictionary of all my misspellings and then able to convert them into real words. So I start pressing some bad keys and it pops up the word I want. I click on that word. So I might finish typing one out of every five words I actually write. So for that point of view, it's okay. The sound quality on the Storm is fantastic. I have never used a phone with such a good sound quality as the BlackBerry. I haven't used an iPhone, so I can't talk for that like that. But I always like the sound quality off the BlackBerry, and the fact that the Storm is so huge, it's a great sound quality. But the battery sucks. You're going back to Windows Mobile days where it takes, you know, by the end of the day, you have to charge it up again. And towards the end of a phone call, a long, long phone call, the phone's burning hot, which is not great. The other slight annoyance is that if you do crash it, and it's, you know, bound to happen, it is a phone, so it's, you know, not the most stable OSs in the world, it will take a full 5.5 minutes to reboot. So that is my only problem with the BlackBerry. I don't recall the older BlackBerries taking that long to reboot. What about you, Eric?
I don't know. Mine, I don't think it takes 5.5 minutes, but it's probably a good minute or two.
Okay, mine could be because of one of the reasons could be because of the security policies are being enforced from the BES server, so that could be an issue there.
Yeah, mine's not hooked up to any enterprise system, so. But, I mean, I don't think you're going to have significantly better experience with any other smartphone. You know,
we used to say this about almost 3-4 years ago, that nobody makes a perfect device. Nobody made a perfect device. You either had great sound quality, terrible battery, or a great data device, zero usability. But when I was, and I maybe it's because the reality distortion field on me hasn't quite, you know, worn off yet. But after watching the demo for the iPhone, I was like, yeah, this is still a pretty cool device.
To me, you're going to make a device that appeals to as many people as possible, right?
Yeah.
So all these devices are basically appealing to the same group of people. Each has got its own little thing that makes it a little more unique. It's got its own selling point, but at the core, you know, they're all smartphones. They're all appealing to that group of people who wants to have emails and calendars and tasks and maybe a game or two or something on their phone, that wants to do more than just a phone call. So I'm not sure that one of them is going to be vastly better than the other at the end of the day.
Okay.
I say, Eric, that we forego all this high technology and go back to the old brick phones.
What, you want a StarTAC?
Yes.
No, that was too small. You need a MicroTAC.
No, you know the ones with the huge antennas on the back of your windshield, and you had the battery pack that was a suitcase size, so that when you're carrying, and this would be great in this day and age of laptops, you'd have your laptop on one side and you'd have your battery pack for your phone on the other, weighing you down evenly, so you're not looking like a man with a hump on one side of your back. But you'd have the humps on both sides of your back.
But you're the only guy who still drives a car big enough to have one of those old-fashioned phones.
That's true. That's true.
I have to admit, the sound quality on the Motorola M800, which is probably the only real car phone left out there, is really good. You feel like you're in a limo, but it's really good, you know?
No, I just don't think. I mean, we're going to have incremental improvements. I don't expect the iPhone to be amazingly better than the Storm.
And what about?
I think I think the biggest selling feature on the iPhone nowadays is not the fact that it's a phone. I think it's all the gadget that it can bring to that phone, all the software and all the, you know, Web 2.0 geeks that can develop little applications for that phone. That's what it brings to the market. It doesn't differentiate itself as a phone.
No, no. I think the biggest selling point of the iPhone is that I in front of the word phone and that little Apple symbol that's on the back of it. I think those are the biggest selling points of that phone.
You know, I have to completely disagree on that. I do think that, yeah, it's a great, and the iPod is a fantastic device to begin with, and those apps, I mean, there's a Timmy's app on that you hit the Timmy's button and it shows you where the closest Timmy's is to your exact location and how many steps it's going to take you to get there and what time it closes. Now, that is like gold. That is the coolest app in the world. There are some really cool apps that do some pretty neat stuff, like that Level app that's also on the BlackBerry Store, but that Level app is just hysterical. You know, want to make sure your table's level, you put that on the iPhone on there and it kind of like checks, make sure everything's okay. It's stupid, but it's a lot of fun.
Yeah, I agree. It's so much fun to have to adjust your phone on a real level so that you can pretend that it's a level for something else.
You just said it.
Well, it's like, listen, it's like the MRI application, you know. Hey, you can look at MRIs on a phone. Yeah, you can look at it. It has no clinical or diagnostics value whatsoever because the quality of the image is too sucky. But, you know, it's a nice little application.
Now, during this year's demo, they were showing a new medical application that lets a doctor who's, like, away or a remote doctor listen in or review, like, the EKG graphs from his patient. So whatever, if the hospital system is hooked up to whatever, it will relay the EKGs and I've already forgotten what it's called, when the measure of oxygen in your the OSAT in your blood, it shows you all those things on your little screen, and the doctor could say, okay, I really need to stop this golf game and get back to the hospital. And I thought that was pretty neat. I thought that was pretty cool.
It's pretty cool. It's pretty cool. If your hospital is willing to allow you to have a VPN tunnel through the provincial RTSS so that you can view these types of the information through the wireless network on a non-secured link, yeah, that's always a good idea.
We have to make a disclaimer here that Stefan is in health IT, and so everything he just said in the last sentence, I have no idea what it is, but it sounded really convincing. So we'll take your word for that one. Well, I'll definitely take your word on that one.
It's all these, they're gadgets, and that's really what it is. They're gadgets. Some of them have some definite use. I understand you're Tim Horton for a Tim Hortons freak or someone who's on the road. Could definitely be a benefit. Like, listen, I don't drink coffee, so I couldn't care less about that application. But if I'm on the road all the time and I did drink coffee, it would definitely be a good idea. You know, on the road, you say, okay, where's the nearest Tim? So you don't have to pull off the next exit and realize that you're going to have to get Shimamanza coffee instead of Timmy's.
And is it just because we're just jealous that, like, no one's developing stuff for our other devices? I mean, you look at the BlackBerry applications, they're just starting to roll out now. There's the one called Point, which basically lets you book a movie ticket where you are. And there's a few little ones like that. That's pretty cool. But I mean, is it just because we're just like, okay, well, why is everyone developing for the iPhone? Which I never thought the entire population of developers would suddenly be developing for Apple instead of Microsoft. But it seems that day has come.
Well, you know what? I think that is something where Microsoft and BlackBerry missed the boat, and some of the other ones missed the boat. It's not so much because if you look at the history of development on the iPhone, it hasn't been that great. Apple has not been really supportive of the third-party developers until much, much recently. Right?
Hang on a second, Eric. Yeah. Steph, what are you doing with the sound over there?
What am I doing?
Yeah.
He's in the bathroom again.
No, I'm working here.
Because we get a lot, we're getting like a lot of feedback from you.
Okay.
I stopped typing
and I will stop typing for the rest of the conversation.
Oh, you were typing. Okay. I can hear us. And that was not my best P. Diddy. But okay.
Steph's working on a second blog post.
So we'll let Eric continue.
I'm writing the preliminary concept of what I'm going to write for my second blog.
Just make sure you get one of the real editors to approve it.
I'll send it. I'll have my daughter proof it.
Her French is probably better than yours to begin with, so there we go. Could you, Eric? You were tapping into to. Sorry, I'm sorry, Eric. You were tapping into into missing the boat with some of the developers.
Yeah. So Apple, what they did, I mean, as I said, is part of, from the point of view of APIs and access to the system. They were really restrictive on third-party developers, but they gave them this great platform to advertise and showcase their applications, and they made it really easy for consumers to come and get them. You didn't have to go around looking. You didn't have to go to all different kinds of websites and whatnot. There was the App Store where you could go and get all of them. Anything you wanted was there, right?
But that's really nothing new. I mean, when we had Palm devices, I had a Palm 3, I had a Visor and a Clié. You used to go to sites like Handango, and you could basically download any program you want. I think what they did is they just put it actually on the phone itself.
Yeah. Well, I mean, don't forget some of those devices you mentioned weren't really connected. You know,
it's true.
But. I mean, certainly BlackBerry, RIM is really only coming out with a BlackBerry store now. Software.
It's not a store. It's an app world. You have to get that right, by the way. I'm sorry. Before we get any lawsuits.
And things, when they talk about the new Palm Pre, one thing they've mentioned is the API that developers have access to is the exact same API that Palm uses. Right, there isn't two sets of API, two sets of documentation, and Palm is also right off the bat launching with an app store. So, if there's anything that's innovative and creative and bleeding edge about the iPhone, it's the app store. It's not so much the features of the phone or anything. I think it's what Apple has done. In that sense, to reach out to consumers and bring them more value to the phone.
And what do we think of the Pre? I mean, it launched in the States this weekend. It's launching with Bell sometime soon. We don't know. The Boy Genius Reports has a whole bunch of blog articles about it coming soon. So what do we think about it as a device? I mean, it's getting some good. It seems to be getting some good reviews in the States. And Gadget likes it. The guys from Dig like it. Leo Laporte likes it. So. What do we?
Yeah, but Leo Laporte, that's biased, right? Because we got it for free.
Oh, don't start that. Screw you, Eric. I love that. That is, I have to admit, I completely support Leo for that because that Mike Arrington is just, he can sometimes be arrogant and trolly, as Leo said. And but you're supposed to get free stuff. I mean, can you imagine being a technology writer and paying for all that crap? When Apple wanted the iPhone to be reviewed, they sent it to David Pogue of the New York Times. They sent it to Malt Wasberg. They sent it to all the guys they like. And so they reviewed it, and they gave a good review. That's their job, right?
Yeah, but you know what? When I want a review, I go to places, well, I mean, Consumer Reports is a big one, right? But even places like Small Net Builder, they tend to buy most of the stuff they review, right?
You sure about that?
A lot of it, yeah. You read the articles, and the guys will say, "This is how much we paid for the restocking fee to send it back."
Oh yeah, but they're returning it basically. Because you're supposed to, I mean, when Palm or any of these companies give you a phone to try out, you're supposed to sign a letter saying that by the end of the the week we will return the phone to you and we'll give you X amount of dollars, or we'll charge you X amount of dollars. Now, that was the big thing about Mike Arrington is that basically whether anybody actually gets charged for those things is another story. But there are a lot of journalists out there who do return the devices. Thank you for letting us try it. Here you go, have it back, and then away you go. And that was and that was Leo's point, was that, he tries them, he likes them, whether he keeps them or not is completely up to him. But I never really question any of his integrity on those kind of details. And I'd rather have his opinion about how something works than some journalist, from the Gazette who went out and bought it and maybe doesn't even understand how it works to begin with, and then puts a review that, like, you know, confuses MySpace with Facebook and all that stuff. But that's just my bias towards Leo Laporte, which I think is an excellent journalist to begin with. So,
well, when coming back to the pre, I'm definitely looking forward to getting my hands on it. My first PDA was a Palm, and I'd always been impressed with the stuff they did and the stuff that, and even other stuff that ran on the Palm OS. So I'm hoping that the Palm will not only impress me, but also be reasonably priced, and that Dell will offer reasonable packages around it, and I'll be able to pick one up.
If it was on Rogers, would you pick one up, Steph?
Sorry, I'm reading The Skinny on This Fatty, and you put that Breaking the Waves is one of my favorite movies.
You put that on your Facebook.
Breaking the Waves?
Yeah, you put that on your Facebook. I think Andrea got a hold of your Facebook account.
I'm sorry, guys. I'm like, Breaking the Waves? That was one of the most boring movies I've ever seen.
Well, you put it on there.
I did not.
It's on your Facebook. Look at your Facebook account right now, and you'll see you have that as your favorite movies.
God, are you freaking kidding me?
And then I emailed you. I said, Steph, you still haven't written a bio for yourself on the site. Can I use your Facebook? Yeah, whatever. Go ahead. So I do. 2 weeks later, he reads it.
I've been busy.
So let's get back to you. And if you had your chance to get your hands on a Rogers version of the Pre, would that interest you?
Probably. Anything's better than this crap, this site crap. I would try. You know what? To be honest with you, I told my colleagues, I said I will try any phone, and I'll give it its true merit. If it works and it's got a better battery life than this phone, then it's going to be better than any phone I've ever had.
Is that still the killer for most people, is the battery life?
Yeah, well, no. Actually, it's, you know what? The battery life wouldn't be so bad if it wasn't running on mobile Windows.
What kind of battery is in there?
Windows,
is it like
once you close an application, it doesn't really close it. It keeps it in the background. Yeah, well, and that's what saves the battery.
But the BlackBerry apps all stay open as well. But I guess the BlackBerry apps don't keep eating cycles. Because I don't know. I have like about 7 apps on my Storm open right now, including Google Maps location device. So, and it doesn't kill the battery that much. But is that important to you, Eric? The battery life?
Oh yeah.
More than anything else, or?
No, not more than anything else. But I mean, I guess these days I expect the battery's gonna last me a week, couple days. Right?
Yes.
I mean, I don't mind. I sit at a desk all day at work. I don't mind if I have to plug it in while I'm there. So, but as I said, the assumption is I'll be able to come home Friday and not have to plug it back in again before I get back to work on Monday.
Oh, there's no way in hell I can do that with any device.
No.
I'm like by the end of the second day, like if I got to the point like on a Saturday afternoon, the Pearl would be dead. Just 30 minutes in my basement and I have no battery left.
Oh, but right, you're on a CDMA network, eh?
Yeah, I'm on that that evil net. I mean, EVDO.
I guess I should be getting used to that. Eh?
Well, there's zero penetration, and you don't have. I don't think there's any reason to get used to EVDO. I think that if you have a GSM phone, you should hold on to it for as long as possible until all of the Canadian carriers converge towards the holy grail of HSPA, which I still don't believe is that great, but that's where we're going because the Olympics are coming to Canada.
Well, yeah, so that means Vancouver is going to get HSPA and all the rest of us are going to have to wait.
No, I think they're hitting Toronto, Montreal, and Quebec City pretty hard with the network.
They'll hit Vancouver pretty quick. Well, they'll definitely be in Vancouver for 2010.
Well,
right?
Apparently Vancouver's already up and running. I read on an inside, like one of those inside baseball blogs, that basically if you have an HSPA device right now with Rogers and you turn on your roaming, you'll see like a CDN network 2 or something like that. And that's basically the TELUS code name for HSPA.
Okay.
So apparently it's in Montreal, and apparently it's in Toronto, and I don't know about the other big cities like Calgary, Edmonton, but apparently the city centers, the metro centers, are pretty much up and running, because the whole point was that they're going to share the network, right?
Well, yeah, Bell and Telus were going to do their own build-outs and share, I guess, let you roam for free or something is basically what it's going to come down to, right?
Which is what we basically do if we're on Bell and we're going out to the prairies anyways. There is no Bell in Manitoba, so when you go to Manitoba, you roam whatever Manitoba network is there.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I don't think it's that big a deal that Bell and Telus are gonna share the build-out of the Linux's PA network.
So I guess to sum it all up is that we still we're most of us are still going to have to put up with whoever we have until that. No one's gung ho iPhone here we go, here I come yet.
Well, my thing, and this is, you know, everybody, well, Bell and Telus are pushing their next generation of network, right? And everybody knows that's where the cool phones are, because they look at Rogers. You know, just go on to, like, BlackBerry.com and see what devices are available on the different networks, right? And there's, like, four or five from Bell, four or five from Telus, like, at least a dozen on Rogers. Go to any phone company where you can look up phones modeled by carrier, and you can see right away the CDMA carrier. That's such a limited choice of devices. So that's my kind of thing. Like, why would anybody switch to or upgrade right now and lock themselves into a 3-year contract on Bell or Telus when they know the new network is coming and all the new cool devices are coming?
That is a question that comes up a lot. I thought maybe the Palm Pre would have something, that wow factor that some people would want if it was enough of a move for certain people to move across. So I guess in the two fat dads realm, the iPhone's a bit of a bust. Nobody wants to really jump on that yet. We'll have to speak to Steve and see if he's going to, if he's still got that reality distortion field to get going with it. We'll try to catch up with him sometime next week. Steph, hopefully we'll be able to grab you away from WoW for a little bit longer.
I'm not WoWing right now.
I mean, next week we'll be able to catch you to get to WoW.
Let's see, I've got some availability.
and what we started doing in the pretest for the Dadcast is basically one of us dads has a dad tip, and I was reading Eric's Twitter feed earlier this week, and I can't believe nobody's thought of this, and Steph, I can't believe you haven't discovered this yet, but I'm going to let Eric go ahead with it, and please tell us your big find, economic find of the weekend.
Well, my wife is sitting right next to me now, so as soon as I say this, you're going to hear a painful howl and the phone will hang up. But yes, I found we were running low on garbage bags, because we always use grocery bags in the garbage, and now they've all convinced us to buy these 99-cent grocery bags, and you know, they threatened to charge us 5 cents for a plastic bag if, God forbid, we forget our fabric bag. Well, I walk down the aisle for garbage bags, and the cheapest ones I can find are 10 cents a bag. So when I get to the cash, I said, well, I'd also like 20 grocery bags. I mean, they're half the price, and they work perfectly in my garbage can. So, you know, there's a big fail in the environmental movement. You're still better off buying grocery bags than buying garbage bags.
Eric, you should have pushed it to the next level. At these prices, it'll take 1,000.
How much is that big box under the counter? Go on. Tell me now. How much is that big box under the counter? I got a 20.
Or you could even add it. Do you know if there's going to be a sale on these soon?
Okay, well, that's a tip for you all out there. I think everybody should go out and buy grocery bags and tell everybody that that's a big fail. And if anything, it'll just raise the price of the grocery bags behind the counter.
But, Eric, you bring a good point. My wife and I the other day were changing the... I'm going under the sink because I'm sure you're in the same boat as we are. You're digging under the sink through the pile of bags that you have, and you're saying, nope, this one's too big. Nope, this one's got holes. Nope, this one's too small. And now, because they're charging you for these bags, you're going to have to buy some of these bags. But you're right. At 5 cents a bag, this is the way to go. Screw the environment.
Oh, well, I don't know. I don't know if I want to go that far, but you definitely have a point. Okay, so my thanks to Stéphane Deneau, and you can find him on the twofatdads.com site as soon as he posts anything. Just, you know, say hi.
Hey, what's my username and password?
Yeah, it's, I'll text you later. Then also thanks to Eric Schultz, at Schultzster on Twitter, if you want to follow him. He's always full of good economic advice like that. Also good at restaurants downtown, I hear.
And traffic report. Peel and Goshen Care. You'll always know what's happening on Peel and Goshen Care.
There's a McDonald's on the corner of St. John's and...
Brunswick.
Is that where it is?
Yeah.
I don't know.
And I'm François Fortier, at Johnny Canuck on Twitter. You can follow us all there. You can follow at Two Fat Dads on Twitter as well if you want. And please stop by the Two Fat Dads website. Come to our Amazon store. Buy one of our awesome recommended tech things. And make sure that we can continue to buy diapers for our children's.
Hey, quick question here.
Yeah, go ahead.
If we're inviting people to come to the Two Fat Dads, how the hell are they listening to this podcast?
Well, hopefully they found us on iTunes or on their iPhone.
Only I couldn't install that on my laptop.
Let me install this on my iCraft.
You should try it in VMware. I'm sure you can install iTunes in VMware.
I'll talk to you guys all later.
All right. Thank you very much.
Take care,
Eric. Sorry,
good night, buddy. Good
So that's been the first installment of the Two Fat Dads podcast, or the Dadcast, as we call it. Another test going out, this time with Steph Deneau, Eric Schultz, and François Fortier. And we're glad you've been listening to us, and please, if you like us, add some comments to our website, come visit the site, and subscribe to us on iTunes. Thank you very much.
L'abonné que vous désirez joindre ne peut vous répondre.
Oh, what I'll do is I'll say I'm François Fortier, a.k.a. at Johnny Canuck, and do it that way if you...
I think we can drop the at.
What, the Twitter names? Because people can Twitter follow us on Twitter if they want.
Yeah, but you're
I don't have a Twitter, so they can call me suck my cock at no thank you.
You could be at Two Fat Dads if you want.
You could be like at 50% Shade of Grey Prince.
That is quite funny, actually.
That's good. Start taping, man.
Okay. So, we'll just get into it.
It's not going to be funny anymore. Eric has opened his quota already.